Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be having a spoiler-filled discussion about a television show that we think you'll enjoy. In this episode, I am joined by my sister Kay, and we're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion on the third season of Bull TV show. Now, one caveat I'm going to say from the get-go, not only are we going to spoil everything from this and previous seasons, but unlike most TV episodes where we've literally just finished watching it, turned off the TV, turned on the recorder, and start talking, we've watched this at different times.
Mm-hmm.
We'd gotten, I don't even remember if we watched it together, up through about halfway through the season. And that was a year ago?
Yeah.
And then life happened and stuff like that. And then recently I got through the remainder of the season. And then literally, I guess yesterday, you had rewatched the whole thing and finished it yesterday.
I finished it yesterday.
So you probably have a better recollection of the first part of the season than I do, because it's been forever since I've seen it. Where we had left off previously, I'm trying to remember, which was the season that ended with the heart attack cliffhanger? Was that first or second?
That was second.
Okay, so he came in with the recovering from the heart attack. And the big change this season was one of the supporting cast characters was replaced.
Yes, and I did not like how she was written out.
I was very unhappy with how she was written out. The character of Cable, who was the young hacker and information gatherer type, that actress, I believe, had a opportunity to direct a movie she'd been kind of shepherding or whatever for many, many years. And it was just too good of an opportunity to pass up, so she didn't. And basically, hey, can I get out of the show and go do that? So what they wound up doing was killing off the character in a very roundabout, she died and it takes them a little while to realize.
It was both on screen and off screen. Well, we saw all the cars go off of the bridge on screen.
First thing we see in the season is this bizarre traffic accident on a bridge where it collapses, people go over and stuff like that. And we find out either at the end of that episode or maybe the next.
At the end of that episode.
That she was one of the people.
Yeah, she was in one of the cars. But it's not like we saw her for that scene.
No, she...
In any way, shape, or form.
And the thing is, it seemed like she could have been... I would assume the actress would have been willing to do a day or two of shooting just to set it up. And
I mean, we didn't even have a scene of her loading stuff into the car on the cell phone of, no problem, Mom, I'll be there in a couple hours. We're loading the car now.
Yeah, I've gotten a car. We're going to, because she didn't have a car.
Yeah.
I don't even remember if there was a funeral. And if
there was a funeral, well, there was a memorial service.
Was there even a photo of the actress?
I don't recall a photo of the actress at the memorial service. Oh, Jill Hensley, I think is the actress's name. The one who was starring Crossing Jordan.
The one who plays the mom?
Yeah.
Her mom, yeah.
She played the mom. She was in a few episodes. And they ended up, and it was like three or four episodes later.
It was like three episodes in that they found out who had used the faulty material. They had connections to terrorism, so the bull goes after the bank or whatever.
And it wasn't actually faulty material. They had assumed it was faulty material, and the investigation showed that one of the people working on the repairs on the bridge had planted an explosive, and that it was actually terrorism, and that nobody had taken credit because they wanted to destroy our faith and our infrastructure.
Ah, got it, got it. That was supposed to be, I think, the payoff for the character death.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel it was.
No.
And what was weird is that actress who played Cable did a great job for two seasons. Is the daughter of the co-creator of the show. So, I don't know, the whole thing just felt a little weird.
Yeah.
You know, if she wanted to go off and direct, and I certainly don't fault her for that, do you have to go kill the character?
Yeah, I wish the character could have been dealt with much better.
And I've heard this said before, and I don't know if it's true or not, but there seems to be the case, if you can tell whose decision it was for somebody to leave a show, if it was the actor's decision, the character is brutally killed off. If it was the show's decision, they just kind of walk off screen and are never seen again. And again, don't know if that's true or not, but...
That's funny. Yeah, because I've heard various versions of basically if they die on screen or off screen,
mm-hmm.
being along the same lines too. Of basically, if the actor wanted to be written out, they die on screen.
Mm-hmm.
But if the actor had no idea they were being written out, they die off screen.
Yeah, yeah. So it was unfortunate. I think Cable was a good character. That having been said, her replacement character of Taylor,
mm-hmm.
I really like.
Yeah, she really grew on me. I wasn't too sure the first episode she appeared in.
It took a little while to figure out where she was going and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a different relationship with Bull.
Yeah.
A good relationship with Marissa.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Cable had a better relationship with Danny, the investigator, whereas Marissa's kind of almost second in command at TAC, the trial analytic consulting, whatever the company's called. So I thought that worked out well, and I thought that character was well developed of Taylor over the course of the season.
Yeah.
The character of Bull, there was a bit with the heart situation. He's got to get his steps in, all of that, watch his blood pressure.
Cut down on the alcohol to virtually none.
Yeah. Other than the alcohol part, most of the rest of that just kind of fades away over the course of the season.
Yeah, it's only useful when it's useful.
Yeah, either it's a major plot point or it's not mentioned.
Yeah.
I was not thrilled with that.
They seem to like to use Bull as the guy who is great at reading the jury and the total strangers, but impossible at understanding what's going on with the people in his own life.
Mm-hmm. He's like, too close to some things to see it. Yeah, he just doesn't pay attention.
His own life is a blind spot, or particularly the women in his life. He's
of which he has quite a few.
Yeah, well, there's that.
Definite womanizer. There was a arc where on-again, off-again romance with somebody. She's another lawyer. He gets dragged into a couple of cases and stuff like that. That gets out on the rocks to where later in the season, I guess at Benny's dad's funeral.
Mm-hmm.
The other person who's there, of course, is Bull's ex-wife, Benny's sister.
I still love the line from, I forget if it was season one or season two, but Benny's sister has never forgiven Bull for getting Benny in the divorce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a couple of good lines, and I think the relationship between Bull and Benny works well.
Yeah.
The actor who plays Benny does a terrific job.
Yes.
And there were a couple of times they really gave him some good material.
Yeah.
You know, and particularly with the death of the character's father and the fallout of all of that stuff, there was quite a bit to work with.
Yeah. I think the character that had the least to work with over the season was Chunk.
They did some stuff with the daughter.
A little stuff with the daughter and a little stuff like when he had his own first case.
Yeah.
And went against Bull's advice.
Yeah, there was some of that, but it was also a matter of the Chunk we were first introduced to in the first episode was the image consultant,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. He's now trying to become a lawyer. He's now got an adult daughter or college-age daughter and stuff like that. It's a different character.
The scenes that I love Chunk in the best are when he's prepping witnesses.
Because
mm-hmm. he's really good in those scenes. Like the scene with the chief medical examiner.
Yes.
When he's telling her, look, it's not that I don't want you to tell the truth. It's that I want you to tell your truth in a way others can understand and relate to.
Mm-hmm. Well, because that episode was pretty good. You've got a chief medical examiner who is accused of having made a grievous error or something and didn't.
Yeah.
And will not admit that she did because she doesn't make those kinds of errors. She's a very reserved, intellectual person that comes across cold, aloof, and uncaring.
Yeah.
And I think they did a really good job of examining that type of person and that character really well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think where they need to go with Chunk is play up those aspects where he's good at reading people, good at getting them to get their story out and stuff, even though he doesn't have the kind of training or innate knack that Bull has, he's better at it than Bull is.
Yeah.
Because while he's not so hyper analytical or observant as Bull can be or whatever, he pays more attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's able to understand the person, whereas Bull often just doesn't care. Bull is so cocky and sure.
Yes.
And I think that's a telling aspect of the character. Now, they did do a couple of things this time to kind of flip things around on Bull in particular. He's on a jury instead of, you know, vetting the jury.
And ridiculed for not being able to get out of jury duty.
Yes. Yes. And was trying to run the other case during the breaks in his and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that was for comedic effect. Part of it is, let's put the shoe on the other foot.
Yes.
So those things kind of make sense to do.
Well, and him asking questions of the witness from jury duty
mm-hmm.
was very interesting.
So I thought they did some good stuff there. Some of the others, case of the week type stuff, some are better than others. The one with the priest who didn't want to, you know, break the confession or whatever. Not the confession, but you know what I mean.
The seal of confession. They did a lot this season with vows, oaths, the sacredness of your word and a promise.
Mm-hmm.
Because that came in down in Houston with Diana also.
Yes. She hired Bull to basically do the flip side of a follow-up case because she knew, well, she did her job, she didn't do the right thing.
Well, and the flip side, she got someone off murder charges but wanted Bull to make sure the person she just defended didn't get custody of his children.
Yeah.
Because she didn't feel he was fit to be the father.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty well done.
And yet she didn't betray the confidences of her client, and she followed her ethics mm-hmm. in every way she could while making sure the grandparents had the best representation possible.
Yeah, yeah. With Marissa's character, we got a lot more of her kind of personal life.
Yes.
Than we'd really ever seen before.
Yeah.
With her husband, trying to think what else they had done with her. Obviously, a little bit with Taylor and stuff like that. So, with the husband, with Taylor and stuff, we get a lot more into kind of Marissa than we'd gotten before. And I think part of it is these other actors want more stuff than just, you know, what's going on in the case.
Well, and Marissa's character is adopted. So they went through the do they want to have children conversation. She also related to a character who was falsely accused of murder. Mm-hmm. And he's a doctor who keeps saying, you know, I get the science of DNA. I understand I'm 100% match for whoever did this, but it wasn't me.
Mm-hmm.
And as he's talking about his childhood and saying he felt disconnected and other things, she pulls Bull aside and says, you know, that resonates.
Yeah.
And they have to break it to their client that unbeknownst to him, decades ago, he was adopted and there was a twin that wasn't adopted.
Well, and part of the fun of this show is when you've got an ensemble like this for a legal type show, in addition to somebody literally just walking in the door saying, here's my case, take it, the different characters can bring cases in.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they're starting to do that with Chunk becoming a lawyer. Everybody's got this friend or somebody else that's getting in trouble.
Well, they had one of Bull's former patients
mm-hmm.
from when he was a practicing psychologist who, it wasn't fair to say she had no emotions. But it was that basically, and they said basically she used to be called a psychopath, but all of her emotions were related to herself.
Mm-hmm.
So she can get angry, things like that, but she doesn't feel joy in the sense of we're all happy. That's
she doesn't
joy.
Have empathy.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and also another one that was brought in kind of a roundabout way was Danny's boyfriend.
Yes. Which went on from the very beginning of the season. He was a character they built up and they used him to deal with the immigration situation in America in a few different ways.
Yeah, they did some good stuff with that. And it's nice to see these characters get introduced. We get to know them. Then the case comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Not just this is some long lost college friend of Bull's or something like that, which happens from time to time.
Yes.
So I think they did a fairly good job this season on stuff. They kept, you know, shuffling the types of cases and things like that. Nothing that was overly predictable or, hey, we just had this a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Which I appreciated.
I will say, going back to that one with the doctor and the DNA matches and stuff, the DNA match they used in that was from a genetic DNA.
Oh, right. One of those ancestry type companies.
Yeah, it wasn't. But those companies are, in truth, working with law enforcement. And there are opt-out options. And basically they send you letters now and emails that say, if you're in our database, you can opt out, though we can't imagine why you would want to opt out of murderers being found, yada, yada.
Yeah, but that's one of those aspects of privacy laws and stuff like that that I think the world is still coming to grips with.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is a very interesting and very real situation that's going on.
Well, they do a good job of pulling that kind of stuff from current day events, if not literally ripped from the headlines or whatever, but making the stories relevant and resonate.
Yeah. Well, I liked the one at Thanksgiving and Christmas time about the guy whose public defender advised him just take the plea, take the $75 fine, let's all go home for the rest of Thanksgiving weekend. This was a stupid fistfight on the side of the street waiting for Black Friday sales. Let it be over with.
It's not a big deal. You don't need to be here all weekend or whatever. Just pay the $100 or whatever it was. Then the guy dies.
Yeah. It was a, you don't need to wait until Monday sitting in a jail cell to go through a proper arraignment so you can plead not guilty. And the only way to plead not guilty was to sit in jail for 3 days to go to that arraignment.
Well, and when they do episodes like that that point out some of the flaws in the system.
Yeah.
And the unintended consequences of what seemed like good advice at the time, horrible.
Yeah.
I thought that was well done. I also liked the one where we got the lawyer that was one of the people that Benny and Bull and everybody just kind of idolized.
Yeah.
And the guy's starting to lose it.
The Graves Act of 1812.
Yeah, he would just make stuff up, but do it with such an air of authority that, well, he must be right.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that one was a lot of fun. And
well, and at the end, he did come up with a theory that was right on for the case.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something that, you know, the show plays fair. They gave us the information early on of, you know, the bullet didn't actually hit and kill the guy. It ricocheted and killed the guy. And when the lawyer who's losing it says, well, what if the bullet wasn't meant to ricochet?
Mm-hmm.
What if this person wasn't meant to die? And it changes the entire course of the case and how they're arguing it. And when they get into court and Benny says, you know, we want to bring up this witness, we want to ask him questions, and then Bull tells the guy they idolized, this is your witness. And he's like, no, you've already pointed out how much I'm aging and botching it. And he's like, no, this is your moment. And the fact that they do respect him enough to give him the moment to end it on a high note and to enjoy the fact that, yes, he was the one who solved the mystery.
Yeah, it was a almost an opposite of coming of age kind of a story.
Yeah.
How to almost gracefully retire. And that's one of the redeeming aspects of the Bull character is he can be a bit of a jerk at times, but that's not his inherent nature.
Yeah.
You know, he tries to do the right thing when he can. There was also the episode, and this was one where Chunk had brought the case in, with the barbershop.
Yes.
Kid gets into trouble for doing something. Grandfather's about to lose the barbershop, and I think Chunk takes the kid and mm-hmm. Benny takes the grandfather as separate cases or something like that.
Well, Chunk got assigned the kid as part of his law school program. And then Chunk gets a call while he's in Bull's office saying the grandfather's having problems.
Mm-hmm.
Bull offers him a ride down basically to see what Chunk's gotten into. And when they get there and realize that the FBI is using the case against the grandson to take the entire barbershop, land, building, and all from the grandfather.
Yeah.
As basically a way to take what could be valuable real estate from an old guy who did nothing.
Yeah, that there was some definite abuse of the system going on
and
whatnot. And there's a certain aspect where when Bull gets kind of morally offended or something, he'll take a case just to spite somebody.
Yeah. Well, and that one, whether or not it's considered ripped from the headlines, it's been an urban legend for decades that back in the 60s, a lot of the groups that were doing the sit-ins mm-hmm. for the Make Love Not War, they were purely peaceful protesters only doing sit-ins, and then FBI agents went in undercover to find out if they were going to turn violent, and they were sent in with all the information needed for how to make homemade explosives, where to get the things to make them, etc. And only the groups that the FBI went into undercover with that information made explosives that happened to use those exact recipes.
Yeah, they almost weaponized the thing. It's entrapment of some sort.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was interesting to see that urban legend in a modern context.
Yeah. Well, and they had an interesting take on kind of, I don't say the Waco situation or whatever, but the people who are, you know, defending their land to the last dying breath sort of a thing.
Yeah.
And it, in this case, it was just a dad and his kid, and the dad ends up dying, and the kid has never really been out in society.
He'd had 3 weeks being cared for by a nurse from the hospital. Mm-hmm. When his dad had been sick, she'd taken him to church 3 times, and while he was there, he had learned about the Ten Commandments and Thou Shalt Not Kill. And that was why this boy, who had been taught meticulously and trained daily to shoot for the head and the heart, had shot the police officer in the leg.
Well, and it was one of those things that if it hadn't been for Bull and that team, this kid could have just been railroaded by the system, wound up in jail, had a horrible life or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But again, trying to do the right thing and understanding the full situation.
Yeah.
And again, looking at that from a different point of view of, well, everybody who's in one of those cults must be evil or whatever. It's like, if that's what they grew up in, they don't know anything else.
Yeah.
There was also the one where the two brothers get into trouble.
Yes.
Because they're the sons of a mobster or something like that. And they're seen, you know, one brother seen as the driver of the getaway for the other and stuff. But it turns out the one brother who'd killed whoever basically, you know, hijacked his brother's car. The brother had gone there to stop him.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely some interesting stuff there, both with the brothers, but also with the mother.
Yes.
And I expect that character of the mother to show up again.
So do I.
So, because they definitely set her up as cold, calculating, and a force to be reckoned with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And something that Bull took it, you know, this could be trouble.
Yes. Well, and we had 2 episodes. Really, that were people trying to take advantage of the system.
Mm-hmm.
One early in the season, one late in the season. Early in the season, we had white female cop shoots unarmed black man.
Right.
And it turned out that they were, unbeknownst to anyone else, a couple who'd hatched a plan to get millions from the city.
Mm.
Then later in the season, we have the bounty hunter.
Yeah.
Who's on his first case, if you will, as a bounty hunter, but he had, what, 10 years in the FBI behind him. He's a friend of Danny's, going back to how we get cases. And he got a bad tip, got the wrong guy, hit him in the head with the gun, puts him in the trunk, gets told by the bounty hunter, you brought me the wrong guy, or by the, not the bounty hunter, the bail bondsman.
Bail bondsman, that's right.
You brought me the wrong guy. And then when he realizes, wait, this guy's been unconscious in my trunk for 2 hours, takes him to an emergency room and drops him off in the waiting room.
Well, and the whole thing, you're like, what's going on or whatever? And when it gets to the end and you realize that this guy had been particularly set up, given the information to go get the guy, who, you know, the thing was really meticulously planned somewhat.
Yeah. Well, and when someone notices, and it's funny because similar things were noticed in both cases now that I think about it. In the first case, the black man was where he was to get shot because he needed to throw up.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't get into the men's room, so he went into the ladies' room. And the question there was, where did he actually throw up? And no record of him ever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in the second case, the guy wakes up in the emergency room waiting room just moments after he's been set down and left. Looks around, makes sure it's all clear, and doesn't,
gets up and walks away.
Exactly. Doesn't yeah. seek medical treatment.
Yeah, well, and it comes down to, if you ask the right question, well, what happened at this point, or why didn't we know the answer to this?
Mm-hmm. Well, and the bail, the bounty hunter kept saying, I'll pay his medical bills. And that kept registering with me as, you know, he's being a stand-up guy. That's the right thing to say.
But when there are no medical bills to pay...
And that's what I hadn't caught on to until the end.
Well, the other one that I think kind of goes into the system not being what it should be was near the end with the prison guard.
Yes.
During the rain and stuff like that, who goes home to save his family and such. And what you see at the beginning leads you to think one thing. What's going on afterwards leads you down another path. Then mm-hmm. it turns out to be this other thing. And there's an art to writing a procedural show to where you the audience gets guided down that path to where it's like, oh, we think it's A. No, it's B. Oh, maybe it's A again. You know, and kind of, oh, it's C.
Yeah.
And doing that in a way where it's not, well, it can't possibly be A. We know it's not going to be, it's, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Without telegraphing it, it takes some art.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things that really worked in the prison guard episode was the warden was out taking care of his family.
Mm-hmm.
And basically everybody on the food chain who should have been at the prison overseeing things decided not to show up for work that day. They called in sick because of the weather.
Yeah.
Low man on the totem pole got saddled with more responsibility than he'd ever had in his life because he actually showed up for work.
Well, and stayed after others left.
Yeah.
And when they got to the point of he couldn't have done what he needed to do anyways by following the procedures because it was a two-man job or this, that, you know,
mm-hmm.
kind of the guy was in a no-win situation.
Yeah.
So they did some interesting things, kind of, again, exploring the aspects of various, you know, social systems or whatnot that mm-hmm. just don't work in some cases.
Well, the final episode of the season was about a little girl who died.
Mm-hmm.
And the ultimate message of the episode was really the father had remarried. So this three-year-old had not two, but three parents.
Mm-hmm.
And because they were all so focused on, does she like you better than me? And not wanting to upset one another, they hadn't formed a cohesive parenting team.
Yes.
To work together to care for the child.
They all had clues, but nobody was putting it all together.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Michael Weatherly is married to a doctor, and I can't help but wonder if that doesn't influence the show.
Certainly could be. I hadn't realized that. There were definitely a number of doctor-type stories, and
he's the father of three, mm-hmm. one from a previous marriage, two from the current marriage.
I'm curious how much input he and the other actors have on where the show is going.
Mm-hmm.
Both in terms of where their subplots and character arcs go and the kinds of cases they do.
Yeah. You know?
Because obviously the writers are going to come up with ideas and stuff, but smart writers are going to listen to what the actors are interested in, where they want to go, and write towards that.
Yeah.
It keeps the actors happy. It keeps the writers employed. It's a win-win. So I did think where the season ended with a definite rift between Benny and Bull was interesting. The cause of the riff.
Interesting.
Interesting. I would argue a little unsurprising.
It had left me wondering if they had spent most of the season negotiating with the actress who plays Izzy and the actress who plays Diana saying, which of you wants to recur in season 4 if we get it?
Yeah, because they've gone through a number of love interests for Bull from season to season.
We bounced between those two this season. And at the end of the season, we had a definitive, this is the one that will recur at least at the beginning of season 4.
Yeah. And we also had, though, different ones in past seasons that were getting, you know, oh, this one's going to recur for a bit. And then end of season, they're not never back.
Yeah.
So, and I get that. This was one where, again, there's a definite couple of plot lines that have to get dealt with in the next season in terms of, you know, where the cliffhanger ends off, some character relationship stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that's nothing new for this show.
I am curious if we'll see Danny's boyfriend again. We sent him off to a place where he could legally be a refugee and mm-hmm. get asylum, and a place from which he could legally apply to return to the U.S.
Yeah, I question if that's a plotline they're going to want to go back to. If so, how soon could they? And
that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that done for Danny or not? I mean, we have a marriage license in hand.
I think it comes down to what kind of contract did they sign? Is the actor doing some other work? Because, I mean, they've shown the ability and willingness this season to, when they're done with the character, they're done with the character. I mean, Cable was a good example of that.
Sadly.
Again, I'm happy with the replacement character,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not happy with how they transitioned.
The use of her kid in the episode with the one they all admired and thought was an mm-hmm. icon. That was pretty funny.
It's probably the only really good use of the kid.
It probably was. But, I mean, at first when she said basically the babysitter canceled out on me, I got to bring him to work today. I'm like, is there going to be a reason for this? Or is this just some yeah. kind of antic? And then the kid got used really well in not one but two scenes.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, that worked.
They've got some good stuff they're doing, and unlike a lot of kind of procedurals, we're getting to know these characters enough, we're getting to know their story and whatnot, what's going on outside of the office enough, without it seeming kind of superfluous.
Yeah.
Because there have been a couple of shows where once in a while we'd get to know what's going on in their life. I think Without a Trace was a good example.
Mm-hmm.
Where the lead character, you know, his father's having some issues or whatever. And it went from we know nothing about what's going on with this character outside of the office to suddenly we know all of this. And it felt odd.
Well, there was a point at which I felt with Without a Trace that we got to know a lot about what was going on with the characters because one of the actresses wanted to get pregnant.
Mm.
And that gave them the opening to create a relationship for her and then write in a pregnancy when it happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas here, they've got enough going on with, you know, what's going on with Danny outside of the office. But it's tangential to what's going on in the office.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Marissa, obviously with Bull. Less so with Benny. Most of Benny's time is either courtroom or case related.
Mm-hmm.
Or relationship with Bull.
Honestly, he's powerful in the courtroom.
He's a great actor.
Yeah.
He's doing a terrific job. I think he is probably... If they had to replace any current cast member, he would be the hardest one to replace.
Yeah.
Because you would need to have somebody who could do all the courtroom scene, but also kind of push back against Bull in the right way, but play with along Bull's game plan the right way.
Yeah.
And where they're going with Chunk and the law stuff and his family and stuff, a little unclear. It seems to come up when it does and then fade away a lot.
Yeah.
So, overall, it's a good show. I enjoy it. How many seasons ago? Who knows? Obviously, I don't think going to go away anytime soon.
I don't think so either.
There is going to come a point where it's like, okay, if Weatherly decides he's off to something else, it's over.
What I'd like to see, if they felt that coming, is him training up Junk to take over Tack while he goes off for a while.
I think it's training up the team. There are certain parts Chunk could do, certain parts Marissa could do, certain parts Benny would continue doing and stuff like that.
I think, though, that Chunk would take over the part he's been doing, Bull's been doing, in the jury selection.
Jury selection, yes.
I think everybody else would kind of keep their same positions.
It comes down to who picks the cases and who calls the shots.
That's true. I see what you're saying, yeah.
That's the part I was thinking.
Which I think is really Marissa and Benny.
Yeah. I would say almost... She picks the cases in terms of coordinating the team and stuff. Benny would pick the legal avenue and stuff and would take a little more lead on that. And then Chunk would be kind of picking up the slack.
Yeah.
So if they'd get to a point where they want to kind of wind the thing down, having Bull exit the firm being, okay, this show was over. You know, and it would give the opening if they wanted to do just a tack show afterwards.
Yeah.
So... It's a fun show. I like legal dramas where it's not all behind the scenes and not all courtroom type stuff. And this has a good, here's the angle we're going. Here's the avenue the case is proceeding in and why.
I love the questions they ask during voir dire.
I like more the here's what we're looking for and why.
True. But I love how they get to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you believe in ghosts? I mean, that's not a question you expect during voir dire.
No, but if you understand, we're looking for people who can believe more than what they can see.
Exactly.
Oh, they want that because this is how they're going to argue the case.
Yeah.
That's the part I really enjoy.
Yeah.
So it's a fun show and they do a good job with it.
Yeah.
So anything else?
I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.